9:03 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Joining us right now, the voice of the New York Yankees, courtesy of our Window Nation guest hotline. He is Dave Sims. Good morning to you, Dave.
What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Last night, Orioles and Yankees to a 4-3 win for the Baltimore Orioles. One of the things that has really, really hampered the baseball team here in Baltimore, we know about pitching, but it's been the hitting. Even last night in the win, 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. But you guys have had your issues as well, 17-12, but some issues as well in New York, am I right?
Well, it's not an overpowering 17-12, that's for sure. I mean, at pitching injuries, you know, about losing Cole for the season, we'll be back for the All-Star break, we hope. And hitting-wise, you still got a bunch of guys that started last night's game on the interstate. Cody Bellinger had a fabulous spring and came out and he went 1-for-4 last night, so I think he's right at 200. Jazz Chisholm is still under 200. Those are two main guys. Trent Grisham's been a godsend. He's had a fantastic first month, and Judge is the best hitter on the planet right now. So, yeah, it hasn't been overwhelming, but they're still in first place. They've gotten a couple good pitching performances here and there.
And Judge is ridiculous this year. But, you said not overpowering. How big a blow is it that, you know, when Soto went to the Mets for this lineup?
Not that, you know, in a final analysis, it's not that big. I mean, Goldschmidt's been outstanding.
Yeah.
He's second. Going into yesterday, he's second or third in many offensive categories behind Judge. And he's played a terrific first base. Bellinger has played a great outfield first. I mean, he can play first in a pinch. Not even in a pinch. He's a good first baseman. He's a very good outfielder. And I think given that he's healthy now, I think he's going to hit. I don't know if it's going to be 40 home runs, but he's going to hit a share of home runs and hit for a decent average. So, and he's a much better fielder. I mean, I like Soto a lot. He's, everybody says, a generational hitter. But outfield-wise, he doesn't give you that much.
I think your brain shows a better fielder than Soto.
and hey, don't get me wrong. Would it be nice to still have him? Yeah, but yeah. I don't think anybody's crying in their milk anymore.
Let me ask you about the starting pitching. You talked about it a little bit, but Carlos Rodon going tonight. What have you seen with him this year? Because I think you got to expect a lot of him with some of the injuries you've had to that staff.
Yeah, last couple of outings, he's been really good. Early on, he'd be pitching a couple, three innings, and he'd have an inning, give up two walks, three-run homer, and then everything would calm down. And it seems like in the last couple of starts, he's figured some stuff out. He's been, I think, you know, the changeup has helped him a little bit. He's still pretty much a fastball slider guy, but he competes like heck. I give him that, and I think he's going to be all right. He won 16 games last year, so I think he has a chance to be a stalwart in this rotation.
The voice of the New York Yankees, Dave Sims, joins us right here on The Fan. Dave, I think you've seen everybody with the exception of Boston now in your division. I said this a couple of days ago when I was with Rockabacco and Masson. I think the AL East, and not because it's weak at all, but I think 90 wins perhaps wins this division this year.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I mean, I think the Yankees have a chance to win this division. I don't know if they're going to run away and hide. And I look forward to seeing Boston. Certainly we're going to see them a whole bunch, and it'll be my first taste as, calling games and that, great rivalry. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Tampa Bay, the Yankees took care of them, and then they go out and smoke San Diego, and San Diego's having a good team. So, you know, it's baseball, and it's – you just – you try to predict at your own peril, man, because just when you think you got it figured out, it goes the other way.
Hey, you mentioned Goldschmidt. I don't know if people realize this. He's got, 17 years in the majors. He's been 361 with a .412 on base percentage, .875 OPS. I mean, we liked him. We were, coveting him here, when he was with the Cardinals, hoping that we might get him. You mentioned him, not being a big, drop from Soto, but I think it's even better than that. He's looking fantastic this year.
No, it's been great. I mean, the guy's quite possibly going to go to the Hall of Fame, and, he's anchored the defense at first base. I think that's been very important, too. You forget, if you don't have a good first baseman, to bail out guys who are making acrobatic throws and whatnot, you're going to be in trouble, and he's been outstanding. He's fielded his position as well, And, you know, he had a brutal first half last year, figured some stuff out. He went back to a lot of fundamentals the second half, and he's picked up right where he left off. And that's, it's been fun. It's been a great acquisition. Yeah, he gets, you know, Cedric robs him in the fifth inning. Yeah. That was a pivotal play. And the fact that the Yankees left the bases juiced in the first and they left 200 in the third. I was lamenting that with Susan Waldman the entire game. I said, you know this is going to come back and bite them. And sure enough, it did.
Hey, Dave, what do you think of Sagano? He's been a pleasant surprise for us. I don't know what type of expectation Orioles fans had because they weren't happy with the offseason the Birds had, but he's been a really pleasant surprise for us. What do you see with him?
First time I'd seen him, pretty impressive. I'm still flabbergasted that given how they played the last year or two, I fully expected with new ownership they were going to go all in on pitching. And they didn't. So, and then now you got the injuries just mounting up. I mean, I come down here, and I'm looking at injuries, and it's like, and it could fill. You could start have a starting lineup of 11 dudes playing for the Ravens. Or all of the, I mean, it's just unbelievable how many dudes are hurt. So, you know, you just got in baseball. One thing in a patient, and easier said than done. But patience, and hopefully, guys, they figure stuff out.
Dave, real quick before we let you go, you mentioned the arms and the injuries. You've been around this game a long time. Have you ever seen so many pitchers go in the IL or back in the day DL as you see right now?
Hey, it's, different training. I mean, I haven't grown up watching, Koufax, Drysdale, Gibson, Nolan Ryan, those cats. And it seems like one thing that they all have in common, they use their legs a lot. They ran a lot. You know, guys are great, are better athletes in this generation, no question about it, but it seems like they're overtraining and something is not happening. I mean, I didn't even know what an oblique was when I was a kid. I mean, are you kidding me? And I set my watch to the Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow going on the IL, and they hit right on the mark. I mean, something's not right. And that's just those two dudes. I mean, the Dodgers have eight pitchers on the IL. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think the industry has to look at training methods. You know, everybody can't and shouldn't be throwing 100 miles an hour. And even if you do throw 100 miles an hour, are you throwing it for strikes? So, they put such a premium on that, it's hurting the sport. It really is.
Dave Sims, thanks a lot, my friend. I'll see you a little bit later.
You got it, man. I got your stuff for you, all right?
I appreciate that. Thank you. Hey, I said it to you guys the other day.
What stuff you got for you?
Yeah, what stuff?
What stuff you got?
Why are you just talking now?
Why'd you get stuff?
He did a
what stuff, Rob?
I'm trying to tell you.
You're hemming and hawing over here.
He did the HBCU Classic, and he got me some swag.
Nice. Right.
But I said it to you guys the other day.
How much stuff are you
pitching? I learned pitching. You bring that leg with you. Bring the leg with you. You just heard him say they use their legs more. And when I said about the shoulder injury and the lat injury from not bringing that leg the other day, Ed, someone emailed me. He said he's a physical trainer. He said not only that, but that's where you get the lat injuries. The oblique injuries as well, because you put strain on your oblique.
You start overcompensating when you have an injury on another muscle.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and he was agreeing with me. They don't use that leg kick enough. I remember when I played in high school and college, the pitchers would be damn near halfway to home plate. They pushed off the rubber so much. And now these guys just try to whip it.
Yeah.
And whip it good.
Bob, I hate to mention Bob Gibson as one of the pitchers. Everyone I watched Bob Gibson pitch, he would basically propel himself toward the base and be in position to field his position. He would be like over the front of the mound and ready in case, a ground ball would fire right back at him. And I did tell you one thing I didn't. Nolan Ryan had huge thighs because he threw with his legs.
And a big butt.
He did. He had a big butt, Bob. But he did. He had huge thighs. He was very strong. But he didn't have. He had problems, but they were like blister problems. He didn't have what we see here with Tommy John throughout the league.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hmm?
Man, don't tell Ed I said this.
Hmm?
But I don't know of a time when we talk about pitching and good pitchers that he doesn't bring up Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Don't tell him I said
that. I ain't going to say anything, man.
All right. This is between you and I, right?
Yeah. Well, nobody listens to this show.
I'm telling you.
I don't think management listens. Are you listening?
Oh, sorry. Hey, man. Somebody won 20 games last year. Bob Gibson won 20 games.
And they were complete games. Bob Gibson told, when Tim McCarver came to the mound to talk to him, he said, the only thing you know about hitting with pitching is that you can't hit it. That's what he told him.
Go back behind the plate there, sweetheart.
Exactly. The only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it. Go back.
Jeremy Collins, Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side. Do you feel the Ravens addressed all of their depth issues last weekend? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens roster is loaded, folks.
Oh, but why'd he come in with loser? Is there something behind this show? You come in with loser talking about the Ravens?
No, he's just coming in loser because he doesn't know how anybody's married to you.
Oh.
Loser.
Sorry. That's true.
Oh,
man. I must tell some really good jokes at home. Joe's in there shaking his
Absolutely.
Head.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, their roster's pretty loaded, Ed. I challenge you to find me some holes in the roster now.
Tough. It really is. It's actually really tough to find holes in the roster. I think they did a really good job at filling. Top to bottom. I think you look at the guys they drafted. I think they fell into a, you know, gold mine with Green. So I just think that was – I never expected that, given, you know, I was reading about it. I said, they'll never pick this guy up. He's the best pass rusher in the draft. And that was a need. And then you talk about, you know, safety was a need. You got one of the best safeties in the draft. And then look at the depth they have. They picked up, like, what, 4 offensive linemen, I believe?
Yeah. Anyway, to add to what they already had, Jeremy, find some holes in the roster.
If I were going to be honest about this and look at it, I like what they've done at every position. I still have questions about pass rush until we see what it looks like. But Ed pointed it out, I don't know if it was last week or yesterday, talking about we always say this, and then they lead the league in sacks or they're in the top five or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I do think the scheme works out. The one thing I would question is,
how much do you think Pagano helps that?
Well, I think if he can
Sagano's
control
more help.
If he's got all of his pitches, I think Pagano... son of a bitch, man. I can't even believe that's where I heard Sagano. I'm just, whatever. All right, so.
I wonder what the encore is going to be today.
Shut up, Ed. I got to live through that again. No, but in all seriousness, I would talk about the special teams a little bit. They drafted a new kick returner. We have to see him. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the kicker is going to look like just yet. I mean, if it is Loop, it's still a question mark. If it's Tucker, I'm shocked, you know. I still think Tucker's the best kicker in the league, even after all this stuff has gone on. I think he's going to figure it out and get back to where he was, but I don't think it should be here.
I don't think he's the best kicker in the league anymore.
I think the off-the-field issues got to him last year. And again, but maybe this is something...
I think like, Father Time is proven once again that he's undefeated.
I don't know about that with him, but like...
I think he's still really good. And listen, if you needed a field goal to win the game, I'm not thinking, oh, I don't want Chuck in the line. Because he's still really, really good. But he's not as good as he once was.
But, and again, to your point, though, sometimes this does factor into the future of him. Because Deshaun Watson was an amazing quarterback before those allegations.
And then?
What happened? He sucks, man. Yeah. He is awful. And then now he's got an Achilles injury, and they're all happy about it. Because they get to look at everybody else and not have to deal with this. And... you bide your time to get rid of that stupid-ass contract that Barry signed him to.
Yeah.
Can't believe a local kid did that, man. Give that man all that money. He's from Bel Air.
He ain't from Baltimore. Bel Air. Let the Bel Air people worry about that.
You know how it works. Everybody in Maryland's from Baltimore. That's what they say because they're close.
I was in college. A guy named Chris Williamson. This is my boy. He's my dude. He was from Milford Mill area.
Mm-hmm.
So... I was just busting his chops one day. All the guys were like, yeah, all you Baltimore boys here, you and Chris. Said, man, Chris ain't from Baltimore. He's from Milford Mill. And he looked at me like, how could you?
Yeah, come on.
Dude, how do I feel? People say they're from New York City. They're from New Jersey. It's another state.
Well, you still got to watch your teams play there. So shut up.
Yeah, I know.
I never had to go to Milford Mill to watch the Ravens. Never had to do that.
Oh,
but, Jeremy,
man.
Let's go back to the whole Pagano-Sagano thing, okay? You know how petty I am.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly think I would have let that guy ask a baseball question without redirecting him?
No, I don't. Again, you looked at me and I'm like, he just said Sagano. So I started with, and then Rob gets this. You remember the kid that put his hand on his chest and he's looking sideways, like, what was that? That's how Rob was looking at me, like, you know you don't mess up, right? What are you doing right now? And then I see him talking to Joe and I'm like, what did I do?
And I could have bailed you out, but it's so much fun just watching you drown.
Hey, man, I don't
mind. Just, I love it, man. It's just when you drown.
Just scoop me out of the water when I'm done. Do you treat me like I'm in the Inner Harbor.
Do you think we have a chance, we being the Ravens, at having a top five both offense and defense next year?
Did you see the group chat?
Yes.
Joe did a mashup of Chuck Pagano and Sagano. And so it's Pagano's face on Sagano's body.
Tomo Pagano.
Oh boy,
that was quick.
Remember when Joe used to be one of the focused ones?
Yeah,
corrupt everybody now.
But to answer your question, yes, I think they could be top five in both categories in offense and defense. I think they made some great. Look, I know one edge rusher doesn't, you know, give you a huge pass rush, but they've been doing it with no edge rushers, essentially. I mean, Vannoy's been a pleasant surprise, but he's getting older, and his contract's expiring. But I think Green is the best pass rusher in the draft. And
you liked him the best? I mean, I still think Abdul Carter's
the
guy.
Yeah, I think number two, yeah.
Carter, well, yeah, he went, what was he, number three in the draft or whatever? Yeah. But I'm still, I mean, the best available for us.
No, but I'm saying, like, there's nothing wrong with even saying that. I think some people may debate
that. I wasn't going to correct you. I agree. I think it's Carter, but I think there are some people that would debate between Carter and Green.
I think
that's a legitimate debate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Kevin Cusack loved him.
I think the only thing not to like about him is the off-the-field stuff. If you watch him on film, you're going, this guy's good. Some people could question the level of competition you're playing at Marshall, but I think we're well past that. You can watch these guys on film and say, okay, I really like this. Let's see how it equates to the NFL level and if he can play here. But you even talked about depth. They got depth at the coaching staff, too. I mean, getting all these different guys, getting Sagano on the defensive side, you know, and adding in some other pieces, Rob. No?
I'm going to let that go.
His sinker is a flipping a fastball. If he gets direct defense like he could. Throw that sinking fastball or that split finger, he'd be all right.
Cedric Mullins playing safety or center field, however you want to call it.
Joe LaCroix's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Connors, the Daily Line.
Yeah, man, if you didn't hear me earlier, I had a hockey game that just said, oh, yeah? How you like this one? It kicked me in the pills. And then they kicked me in the pills again 9 seconds later. And then they said, yeah, there's a minute and a half left. Take this one last one so you can't breathe anymore, you effing SOP. I'll tell you about that game. Caused me to be a loser last night. We'll go over it in the Daily Line.
Leaves it for Reinhardt. Waiting. Yellen goal save. This one will count. And we're tied at two. And we're even with 3:45 to go. And the crowd is buzzing now. Panthers in the offensive zone. Jones shoots the front.
All right, that's courtesy of, well, I believe, Fubo, but that's courtesy. It's more like Fubar for me. The end of that, you heard some of those goals that put it over the total. 2-1, 3 minutes, 40 seconds left to go. And then, bang, bang, Florida hits two goals in 11 seconds.
11 seconds.
And then adds another one in at the 140 mark or whatever, just for good measure. So three goals in the last 3 minute and 40, three goals in the rest of the game. So... and again, like, I'm laughing here because there is no laughter that should be sadness and tears coming down my face. But I went 2-3 in my top plays, had the Orioles, hit my top play overall with the Mets over in the afternoon. You didn't really have to sweat it. I mean, there was a nice little sweat until that 6th, 7th inning. And then, I mean, they scored 19 runs themselves. So you didn't have to sweat that. And then the other two games I picked, I wasn't even close. The A's Rangers over. Nope. And then we have the Dodgers-Marlins under is what I had. Nope, no bueno there as both teams went off. Dodgers on the – I mean, that game went to extra innings. There was a 5-spot late that just hurt. There was a pinch-hit grand slam, so we didn't have a shot with that. Had the Astros, that one. Had the Guardians-Twins under, that didn't. So it was one of those days where that one game was a swing game for me to make me go 2-3 in my top plays. Now, we have a lot of stuff today to kind of go over. Where there's weather out there, there's some good spots for hitters today. But I'll start it off with the NBA. I'm going back to the well. I got it dead wrong over the weekend when I said the Nuggets were dead in the water. And I even wrote, not even Jokic is this great that he can carry this team with all the injuries they have.
Right.
And then they make that last second shot, if you think it was good or not. I mean, I think that's the closest shot in NBA history or basketball history that I've seen that it's hard to tell if it's good or not, and they were just going to go with whatever they called on the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking a hundredth of a second when the lights are starting to come on, and you can't tell if his fingers are on the basketball or not because he dunked the air ball.
Right.
But Jokic had an amazing game. They hung in there. I don't know how the Nuggets were doing it. I talked to a buddy in Denver that said this team was dead. Not a fan, like a guy that's familiar with the team. He's like, man, they're just, it feels like Cancun on three, and then they showed up. I'm going back to the well with the Clippers here. Maybe they got their wake-up call. I just don't think this Nuggets team right now with all the injuries is all that good. But again, Jokic has been special. The Clippers minus two will be a top play for me tonight. I do like Edmonton and L.A. to go over the 6.5. It's juiced to the under, so you might be able to wait and find a 6, but I'm fine with the 6.5. It's going to be a lean for me today in that game. I kept looking at some of the other NHL games. I keep finding myself on these unders at 5.5, and right. It's hard to get away from them. But, I mean, these games have all been, again, last night, lose 4-2. It's a half a goal. Mm-hmm. And the way you lose, it just, that sucks because you were right the entire game until you weren't right.
So I told you one last week. Last week. Goal scored 0.1 seconds across the goal line.
Well,
and put it over the, you know, the total.
See, I had this big issue, and a buddy of mine did too. We were talking about it with FanDuel for a while there, and DraftKings with the way that the rules go on baseball. Because each website, each sports book will have different rules considering how they want to play things. Like I talked about this ESPN bet. I would never bet a parlay on there.
Why?
Because if you push in a parlay, they push your whole bet. So what's supposed to happen if you have a three-team parlay and one of the games ties or gets postponed? Is it supposed to turn into a two-game parlay, which pays 12 to 5? $12 for every $5 you bet. You bet 50, you win 120.
Oh, so they just
give you your money back. They, oh, yep, that one was a push, so you didn't win. No, that's not what happened. It's not what happened at all. Like, you know, but there's and there's a couple other sites that did it. FanDuel really pissed me off because they put something in there that said on baseball totals, you're supposed to go a full game. Well, they said that because the game went over before the game went full,
right,
that they can assume that the game was just going to go over if it had gone full. And I get that. And most people say, well, yeah, that's kind of right because you already hit that. Well, no, because you can't assume an under. So it makes it unfair to bet unders and not overs. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so we just had a game with the Cubs that went 7 innings. I think it was the Cubs. And it finished 2-0. And I had one of my subscribers text me going, hey, what's going on with this? Am I going to get paid out? They haven't done anything. I don't know what happens. I said it should be a push for you because they can't assume the under. So I had a big fight with them and going back and forth. And
with
you,
the subscriber or the...
No, with FanDuel. Okay. I was going back and forth with their support crew, just kind of going, you guys got to explain this to me like I'm stupid because I keep telling you guys how this has been for years, and now you're coming back at me saying, no, that's not our policy. And I said, explain to me how it's fair like I'm 5, you know, and you don't get anybody to do that. But the point is, you need the games to go full. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is that I love the Cubs over today, and there's rain in the forecast, and I'm going to get to it in a second, and I'll explain why I love it. And it's a fairly decent pitching matchup, too. It's just the weather is fantastic. So let me dive into these baseball games. I'll tell you what the weather looks like tonight. Orioles over is a really good play, but the total's 9.5, 10, depending on where you're looking. And anytime you see double digits, you could still have a high-scoring game and go under that number. So
will they win today?
I like the Orioles to win today. That's what we were going to...
Yeah, because I decided Sunday, and I even talked to Jennifer
That's
Brondahl.
That's why you remember now.
Yeah, Senior Vice President of Communication.
No, he said he wanted to bring up something in the Daily Line, and both of us looking at each other like we're idiots. I couldn't remember it.
Yeah, but I decided Sunday. This team has not won a series all year. I even told the Orioles this. I am not going to shave until they win a series.
Okay.
That means... They don't want a series. I'm back on TV. Hey,
and his back is hairy as hell, man.
I will not shave my face, not my head. I'm shaving my head.
I was hoping you were going to look like George Jefferson out there or something.
No, yeah. I ain't moving up. I will not shave my face until they win a series. So, I mean, you're saying I can shave in the morning?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I hope so. I think. Hey, by the way, Aaron Judge is the number one hitter on the algorithm today. I think he hits a home run, but even I can't bet it. Somebody said. One of our listeners, Chuck, sent me a message yesterday. He said, you know if you bet Aaron Judge to hit 2 home runs, what the odds are? It's like, you know how difficult that is to do, and you're not even getting paid accordingly because he's been so effing good. So
you're making it. Didn't they win the Cleveland series?
They did, but he made the.
So he made it after that.
They won 2 out of 3 against. Yeah, it was Cleveland, right?
It was Cleveland?
Then they lose the first game and win the next 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one, though, Rob. Yeah.
So I do the shave thing. I think it's great. But again, I think Aaron Judge homers tonight, but I'm not betting it. I think there are a lot of great plays as far as home runs because as I'm getting to these, the weather, the overs look great. So I'm going to run through it real quick. Cubs over, best spot today, even with the rain. It just matters if they'll get it in. It's supposed to rain 6, 7, 8, or 7, 8, 9 in Chicago. I don't know if they'll try to play through it or hold off, but the wind is blowing out. It's ridiculous. Phillies over, but it's a great pitching matchup, another top spot. Mets over, another top spot. And then the Rockies over would be a lean. Now, what I'm going to be taking tonight, I told it, Rob, the Orioles plus 125, I love it. I like the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Mets to go over 8.5. Wind is blowing out. Not enough data to really sit here and say that this is just such an amazing spot, but when the wind's blowing out at 17 miles an hour and you got this Mets team that just scored 19 yesterday,
yeah.
I'll take my chances. I like Houston minus the 115 at home, and the rest of these are all top plays for me to go along with the Clippers minus 2. I like the Giants minus 120 on the road, like their pitching matchup better than the other side, even though it is a good one with Nick Pavetta going up against Logan Webb. Logan Webb grades out as the second best pitcher on today's slate. So I like them a lot. I like Kansas City and Tampa Bay to go over 8.5. I think Bobby Witt hits the long ball against Taj Bradley. So I think this will be a high score.
Should I bet him on my dinger Tuesday?
I like that.
I can't.
My favorite dingers today are Bobby Witt. I like Jazz Chisholm, Kyle Tucker, Bryce Harper, and Corbin Carroll. There's a lot of big names there.
Jazz Chisholm. Say his name. Switch to
Chisholm. Chaz. No. Shut up, Rob. Trying to get me in trouble. And I like Philly and Washington to go over 8.5. It is a great spot for hitters. The problem is we have two really good pitchers in Mackenzie Gore and Zach Wheeler.
Wheeler's pitching, yeah.
I don't care. I just don't. There's power on both sides. And the fact of the matter is the weather's too good. It's just too good to not take a chance that the either one of these guys coughs a couple up early and then the bullpen comes in and says, where do you want me to put these gas cans, guys? Because I feel like this game's going over the total. And as I talked about Chicago and Pittsburgh, it's my favorite play today. The over there, it's not a bad pitching matchup. It showed us pitching for the Cubs. It's just the weather's so good. And you got Andrew Haney on the other side, a lefty that does give up a ton of power. So I like this spot for an over. It may get washed out. If it gets washed out, I would probably throw Arizona and the Mets in there to go over or the NHL game. So the recap real quick. Cubs over, Rays over, Philly over, the Giants, and the Clippers are my top plays.
Ed, thank you very much. I forgot all about the Guardian series, so I can't go shave for winning the series. That's already happened. So now
you can
not shave until they sweep a series.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Why do something for them to do something they've already done? They have not swept a series. So I will not shave my face until they sweep a series. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Jeremy just decided to just drop a grenade in there and turn around. And
I didn't know.
Look at you guys.
Like, I knew Dave Coulier was a grenade.
You just kept bringing it up and bringing it up. Like, I swear, man, I don't know how you're married with the way that you treat people sometimes.
We only see each other 3 days a week.
I don't know how you're married with the way you treat
people. Hold on, I treat people with kindness.
You do, but then you'll be like, yes, exactly. And I'm like, I can't tell if you're effing with me right now. I don't know what's going on with this situation.
You don't know how mad I get when I'm serious about someone or something and someone thinks I'm joking. They're looking at me like, yeah, no, the guy's dying.
I'm the same way. I don't know.
No. That happened to me before. I thought he was joking about something. He said, how about I just sit there and laugh at your misery?
That is so funny now.
And I'm looking at him like, okay.
I told a joke like you do sometimes. It was just like you do. And you got really angry. Must have hit a button.
You do know I've never seen Full House either.
Okay. Joe, get on him. Ed's saying he's never seen Full House.
I tried to explain to him. It was a show that came on Friday nights when I was in my 20s. I wasn't watching TV on Friday night in my 20s.
It was a show. I didn't know who was in it. Bob Saget was in it, right?
Yeah.
Samos, yeah.
Yeah, all those guys.
I never watched it.
But it's the same thing. It's a show that came on Friday night when Rob was in his 20s with no black people in the show.
That too.
Rob was... when were you born? 72?
I was 27 when it came
out. You were 16 when it started.
Yeah. Well, even worse. And when did it end?
95.
So I was 24. So 16 to 24. Yeah, I ain't watching Friday Night TV that air, man.
I did.
No. My first kid wasn't born until I was 27. Nah, man. Friday Night TV? Nah, bro. And that's when things change. That's when I started being at home on Friday nights watching TV.
By the way,
when Robbie was born.
To piggyback off of that and what you guys were saying, I went out in the hallway. It was the day after my grandfather died. And I went up to one of the guys on the other station. I went up to Kramer. And I said, hey, we were just talking. I said, my grandfather died last night. And he goes, okay, what's the punchline? I said, he did. And he went, oh, you're being serious. And I was like, yeah.
You know you bring this up. In the words of Eddie Murphy, you know you brought this on yourself.
That's all right.
100%.
That's the encore for the day.
Shut up, Ed.
Hey, you made fun of me for having cancer.
No, I did not. I may have. Maybe a little bit.
Anyway, today's encore brought to you by Lion's Den. It's a great little store for adults. Six in the Baltimore region. They got all kinds of stuff. The usual stuff you see in adult stores. But games, books, lingerie, all kinds of clothes. It's a good store. It really is. I've gotten some wonderful stuff from Lion's Den.
Well, while you're there, tell us what you learned today.
I didn't realize this. I thought I knew because I've spoken to Chuck Pagano. He helped me years ago when someone I was dating got cancer, and he called her, and he's just a very nice man. I had no idea he was Japanese, so I learned that today.
I didn't know he pitched and held the Yankees to no runs last night either.
I had no idea he threw a splitter. He was fantastic. And I also learned, I don't know how I stumbled upon this, I don't know why we're still doing this. Do you know what cost 3.69 cents to make a penny?
That's why they should stop doing it, yeah.
Yeah, like maybe we should stop making these stupid things. 3.6. It costs four times as much to make one. Why are we doing this? Get on that, Elon Musk.
Some national days today. Today is National Shrimp Scampi Day. You like shrimp scampi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
You like shrimp fried rice? I didn't even know they could fry rice.
I love shrimp fried rice.
How did shrimp do?
Yeah. They do. I saw them. I watched them.
No, it didn't work. That was a dad joke today.
Today is also National Zipper Day.
Let's scratch that one out.
And I got to get somewhere. I don't know whether my batteries. I couldn't start my Forerunner today.
Oh, no.
Some birthdays in sports today would have been George Allen's birthday. Today also would have been Dale Earnhardt's birthday. Today, former NFL quarterback Jim Hart turns 81. Bob McClure turned 73. Former NHL player Mike Babcock turned 62. Former NFL quarterback Browning Nagel turns 57. Former Major League Baseball pitcher Sterling Hitchcock turns 54. Former NBA player David Lee turns 42. Was David Lee also on that Florida guy?
Another Florida guy, yep.
He was on that team?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one we keep forgetting.
Yeah, Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
Joaquin, which one is it, Joe? Anyway. The Noah kid, Corey Brewer. Who else did we have there? We had Al Horford.
Al Horford, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. Today, also, former quarterback Jay Cutler turns 42.
My guy.
And former super shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, Luis Aparicio, turns 91. All right, Joe, Andre Agassi and God Sham God share a birthday. Who's older?
Andre Agassi.
Andre Agassi?
Oh, yeah, it's Agassi.
Is Agassi?
Well, you know what? I started to think Agassi played tennis really young.
Really young.
I'm still going Agassi, but I love me some God Sham God.
Ed. Come on, New York boy.
Yeah. Sham God Agassi. I'm going to say Agassi. Agassi's got
to say Agassi.
I want to change my name to Jeremy Con Jeremy. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but God, thank God in it. You guys are all right. Andre Agassi, 55. God Sham God, 49.
All right. Well, a couple of things here. Let me scratch out that one stupid joke. What does a mechanical frog say? Rivet, rivet. You know what a rivet is, Joe? I found a book called How to Solve 50% of Your Problems. So I bought two books. I'm good. What do you call a single sperm? A springle. I don't even know if that makes sense. Some. All right. Why are cowboys bad at math? They're always rounding things up. Oh, God. Ladies out there, this one's for you. Mansplaining is short for man explaining. That means they're going to tell you everything you need to know about that situation. Here it is. Talented shrimp. You mean to tell me a shrimp fried this rice? All right, anyway. I gave all my dead batteries away today. Free of charge.
That hits me different today. Yeah.
Math is hard. I don't know if you guys know this. 15 plus 15 is?
30.
30. But 16 plus 16 is?
32.
Yeah, it's also 30. So it's 32. Jumper cable walks into a bar. Damn, these are all jokes for you, Rob.
It's not funny right now.
The bartender says, I'll serve you. but don't start anything. And someone said, I have a face like a boat. I didn't reply. I just gave him a stern look. Remember when air for your tires was free? Now it's 50p. That's inflation for you. And my mate David had his ID stolen. Now we call him Dav. So they stole the ID, and his name finishes with an ID. That's why it becomes Dav. Yeah. And last one here for you. Was sitting in the pub the other day with a mate, and there was this odd bloke nearby saying, Biff! Pow! Bam! Quietly. My mate was getting angry and angry and asking what's wrong. He said, them's fighting words. You guys ever watched Batman?
Where did this come from, this mate? Is that like a friend?
It's probably a Brit telling that joke, and that's why I've written it. Yeah.
That's why I ask, you know, where did the jokes come from? Where does this book come from?
Well, I mean, I got a ton of them. So I got the book that Ed bought me, a book that has a ton of dad jokes in it.
You're encouraging this, Ed?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. I love this.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.